those who are here, it's calling to order the Joint Special Committee on Land Use Fairness. Today, we were going to have just a public hearing. It's on the bill that was posted, which is House Bill 3546. So, and 3546 will be dealing with the possibility of the committee entertaining a bill to give an extension to allow for public entities an additional amount of time to process, review, and act on the Measure 37 claims that have been filed with their respective entities. So tonight we will be dealing with that. And I want to remind a lot of the individuals a couple of different things that we should keep in mind. First of all, if this is your first time to be here, and if it's not your first time to be here, I'm going to ask you to turn off any cell phone or electronic equipment that you have. We have an outdated communication and recording system, and for whatever reason, some of the technical advances of today interfere with that. So if you'll be so kind to put that in the off position. Today, since we're only going to be taking public testimony, it is only on one bill. For those who have been here previously, it's similar to a bill that we had, Senate Bill 833, which talked about extension. For those who were keeping count, we actually were batting 1,000 that night. Everybody who came and gave testimony, no matter what your position was on Measure 37, didn't like 833. So we'll see how tonight works, see if we keep our perfect record on the extension bill. And a very serious note, because of the time that we have, we're going to be limiting everyone, as we have in the past, to 2 minutes. We are asking that you frame your statements to the bill that's before us. That is House Bill 3546. And there have been amendments that have been distributed. My understanding that they're out to help fill in some of the blanks and also change some language that was unfortunately included in the draft of the bill when it was created last week. A miscommunication with the Legislative Council, and unfortunately that language was inserted, never had the intent for that to be inserted, and so that will be removed through the amendment. So you may want to get a copy of the amendments, look at the bill, and kind of piece it together, and you'll see exactly where we're going. So with that said, what we're going to do is we're going to ask for a very short presentation as to the reason for why the committee now has this bill before us, HB 3546, as it pertains to an extension. So I'm going to ask for Lane Shutterly and Art Slack to please come forward, and Richard Whitman. Mr. Shutterly represents LCDC. Mr. Slack is the representative for, he's brought the clock. And it's getting close to high noon or 12 o'clock midnight, not sure which. Represents the Association of Counties, and Mr. Whitman is with the Department of Justice. And so I'm going to allow y'all an opportunity to kind of go through and discuss the framework for House Bill 3546 and the proposed amendment as to filling in the blanks regarding the amount of time that we've come to review, which is the dash fours, and then we will take comment after that. So, again, for those who are giving public testimony, we will be using the same system that we've used all the way through. We have a number of sign-up sheets. We'll go through the ones based on the numbers that we have as how the tickets were handed out for those to testify. Again, remember you have 2 minutes. The chair will be listening and maybe asking you to reframe or direct your testimony to what is before us today, not some other bill that we've already heard or the measure itself, but the actual bill that's before us, again, which is House Bill 3546. So, Mr. Shutterly, Lane, let you, I guess, lead off, if that's the order that we're going to go, and please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Lane Shutterly, Director of the Department of Land Conservation and Development. It's a pleasure to be with you again this Tuesday evening. Actually, Mr. Chair, if I may, I would have Richard Whitman just walk the committee through the changes that are effected in the bill by the dash four amendments. Principally, my testimony is intended to underscore the need for the extension of time based on the volume of claims received. As we have previously discussed during the weeks leading up to the December 4, 2006 change in process, I've given you some written testimony that supports that. I intend to be as brief as I can, and it looks like you've got a lot of pages of testimony to hear this evening, and I think the thesis for this has been fairly well expressed to the committee before in terms of the surge of flames that we received in late November. So again, I'll come back to that and talk to you briefly about what we anticipate going forward with on the extension of time that's proposed by the Dash 4 amendments, but I thought if it would be acceptable to you, Mr. Chair, we'll have Mr. Whitman just explain briefly the effect of the amendments. It's not a complicated bill.
Thank you, Mr. Shetterly. Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, for the record, Richard Whitman with the Oregon Department of Justice, here to just walk you through House Bill 3546, the Dash 4 amendments. This is a relatively simple bill, and this should only take a minute. This bill, in its amended form, with the Dash 4 amendments, does several things. Under Measure 37, as it exists right now, there is a 180-day deadline after the time somebody files, a claimant files a written demand for compensation, that a public entity has to act on that written demand. If the public entity does not act to either pay compensation or to waive the offending land use regulations, then the claimant has the right to go to circuit court for compensation. So the first thing that this bill does is it extends the 180-day period by 1 year for claims that were filed between November 1st and December 5th of 2006. That's the period last year during which there was a surge of claims filed with both state and local government. So that's the first thing. The second thing that the Dash 4 amendments do is to delete in Section 2, subsections 2 through, I believe it's 7 of, so subsection 2 through the remainder of that section of the bill, and as Chair Brzezinski indicated, that was language that was inadvertently included in the original draft of the bill. Then the third thing that the Dash 4 amendments do is to add a provision, which is the new subsection 3, which appears in the Dash 4 amendments, which provides that if a claimant passes away during the period of the extension, the 1 year of additional time, that the heirs of the claimant step into the shoes of the claimant for purposes of processing the Measure 37 claim. The purpose of this is to make sure that individual claimants are not prejudiced by the additional 1 year period for processing claims. And then finally, the last change in the Dash 4 amendments is to insert a sum of $100,000 in the appropriation to the Department of Land Conservation and Development for this bill.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, Wayne Shetterly, for the record. Just to walk you through briefly the handwritten, the memorandum that I've distributed to you, it's dated April 4, 2007. Mr. Whitman has indicated, and as you well know, that the measure itself calls for a 180-day timeline within which to act on claims. A consequence of failing to act on claims within that 180-day timeline is to subject the government to an action for damages, attorney fees, and costs. As you also know, and as is expressed in this memorandum, there was a substantial surge of claims that came in during that 4 to 5 week period before December 4 of 2006, when the process for changing for filing claims became effective. As a result of that, we found ourselves and still find ourselves lacking the capacity to process that volume of claims. And in fact, we are facing here imminently the first of those claims to go over the 180-day cliff. At this point, we anticipate that May 11 is the last date that we will be able to achieve the 180-day timeline on claims filed and in our possession. I say our possession, that's between Department of Administrative Services, Department of Justice, and the Department of Land Conservation and Development. What I have And that then underscores, again, as you've heard before, the necessity for an extension of time within which to process these claims. Two things about the extension of time is proposed in this bill, the 540-day extension. We want to be respectful of the necessity to move these claims through as expeditiously as possible, at the same time allowing for as full a review as we can accommodate based on current staffing and budget for the department. I believe that the schedule that we have identified to move these claims through is aggressive. We think we can do it based on current staffing. Certainly, if we find out in later part of the year, early into next, that we may need more, I would let the emergency board know that. But we believe at this point that we can accommodate this schedule. And to put the schedule into context, I have shown you the a matrix of the number of claims that we have issued in final order for the period from May of 2005 to April this year. May of 2005 was the month in which we issued our first final order. That was when the very first claim in the door under the measure was issued out the door in way of final order. And so we have, beginning in May of 2005, one final order issued. You see those numbers following monthly from there up until, call your attention to June, July, and August. It was about at that point in time that we became aware that there was an influx, we anticipated a substantial influx of claims as we got toward that December deadline. We did ask the emergency board in June for additional staff capacity. Based on, at that point, an anticipated level of 150 claims per month. That was the last action on our staffing, both in terms of my department as well as Department of Justice and Department of Administrative Services in terms of legislative authorization, again, based on an average monthly output of 150 claims. As you can see, that number was exceeded as we moved into the processing of claims that came in late in the year. Going up to April of this year, where we anticipate putting out 405 claims. Going forward, if we move ahead on the extension as outlined in the Dash 4 amendments of 540 days, that takes us into mid-April of 2008 before we conclude the processing of all of the claims in our possession. And in order to finish those claims by that mid-April of 2008, it will require an average production of about 300 claims per month in final order. So double what we anticipated last June when we last were before the emergency board for staffing on this. It's aggressive, but we think this meets the expectations to move these out as expeditiously as possible, but still with regard to due consideration of the complexities in the claims. Mr. Chair, that's just also to indicate we are showing 405 in April, so why aren't we continuing that level of processing? That level of 405 this April has been accomplished through overtime and weekends, and that simply is not a sustainable level of production. 300 is aggressive. It's a stretch, but we think we can do it. Also, I would point out, in the as the Dash 4 amendments do, recognizing that this is an extension of time for the processing of these claims that would not otherwise be available under the measure. The Dash 4 amendments include the provision that if a claimant passes away during the period of extension, during the period of the processing, that the claimant's heirs are entitled to step into that claimant's shoes. So we are limiting the prejudice to claimants and their families in the event of the death of any claimants during this period of the extension. Mr. Chair, that concludes my testimony on this. I'd be happy to answer questions, or I know Art Schlack was going to comment as well, and I'll leave it to you.
Why don't we go ahead and take Ms. Slack's comments, and then we'll open up the panel.
Mr. Co-Chairs, members of the committee, Art Schlack with the Association of Oregon Counties. As you've heard from me previously, counties have been laboring for a number of months to process the claims that they have received. A like number of claims that are filed with the state are also filed with the 36 counties. Some counties are blessed to have a few more claims than others, but I will tell you that counties like Marion, Clackamas, Washington County have received in excess of 500 claims, which they're in the midst of processing. Some counties have a few more resources than others. However, I do know that based on current activity and based on a survey I did of counties a week and a half ago, that there will be at least 8 counties that will not complete the processing of major 37 claims within the 180 days from which they've been received. I say that recognizing that a number of counties have said, we're doing everything we can to meet the deadline, and we probably will make some very bad decisions. Unfortunately, because we're pushed up against the deadline and the clock at this point, we're going to make those decisions, and then if we have to go to court either to defend them or to deal with other issues, then we're going to have more legal issues to deal with. So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Co-Chairs and members of the committee, I just want to say to you, the Association of Oregon Counties supports the passage of House Bill 3546 with the -4 amendments. It is, I can't say how important it is that we move forward with this immediately. And my friend here, unfortunately, I couldn't get him to do what I wanted to do at the right time, but now he won't do it at all. Well, anyway, he was supposed to ring if I took the tape off him at this point, but you can understand we've been talking about the clock, Mr. Co-Chairs, and
that's really good.
Very weak.
Very weak.
They've been working long hours.
When I was in the hallway and went off when it was in my briefcase, I thought I was going to get helped out. That's even worse, Marlene. But anyway, you get the picture, Mr. Co-Chairs, members of the committee. The clock is expiring.
All right.
Thank you.
Open up for questions. Anyone have questions for either or any of the three? If not, thank you, gentlemen, very much for your presentation.
Can I just add a quick question?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my staff measure summary that you have before you notes the -4 amendments. I did inadvertently forget to mention that they do delete the other provisions of the measure other than the extension of the time period and also the appropriation of $100,000. I also note on there the -1 amendment, which was received which was submitted by Senator George. That amendment, along with three other amendments which we just handed out, are identical, and they are summarized within the staff measure summary on all of the staff measure summaries there.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. All right. The other thing I want to let everyone know is that I have some members here that are sick. I've already given them permission to leave when they feel like they need to. We are going to try to get through our testimony tonight. And at this point, this is the only scheduled hearing we have, public hearing on this bill. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and get started. Remember, one of our ground rules that we have is that we individuals that have traveled more than 100 miles, we take first. It looks like we have two panels based on the highlighting that we have. So I will be asking each of you as you come up to make certain that you meet the requirement. The first panel will be Tom McDonald. Mr. McDonald, where are you from? Come on up. Alex McDonald.
Yes.
Also Madras?
Ashwood.
Okay, come on up. And then Rand Dawson. Okay, well, your name was on the thing. Okay. All right, we'll take your name off then. Rand Dawson.
West Lake.
That works. Yes, that works for sure. And then, let's see, our number three is going to be Mary Lou Gertson. And you're from where, I'm sorry?
Gertson.
Yes, and where are you from, ma'am?
Deadwood.
Deadwood, come on up.
West
Virginia. Yes,
ma'am. We know where it is.
Deadwood's a good one. All right. Please remember our ground rules. You have 2 minutes. Please frame your testimony toward bill that's before us with the extension.
3546.
And if you have written testimony, the other request for everyone, hand it in. Please don't read your written testimony. We have it. Everyone will look at it, summarize, and you've got 2 minutes, Mr. McDonald.
My name is Thomas A. McDonald, and I have to read this because...
Okay.
and I live in Madras, Oregon. I wish to thank this committee for the generous 2 minutes allotted to me every week or so. I strongly oppose passage of HB 3546 and recognize it as a further attempted roadblock to Measure 37. The past few months, we have seen a constant parade and charade of Senate and House bills presented at last moment's notice in an attempt to strangle the vote of the majority of those of us who took the time to vote in the passing of Measure 37. We hear of these little groups gathering in foreign countries to change or alter what has already been voted and approved. Only when we read about them in our daily papers, those groups and meetings are called cells. There is no reason to grant so-called extensions to government reviewers. When those of us in private industry have a lot of work to do, we get it done. Say accountants during tax season, we get the work done. Farmers during harvest season, we get the work done. You know as well as I do that these claims self-select. Most claims are easy and in fact take very little time to process. Perhaps more complex claims take a little longer. But there is no reason why the government people can't get the job done in 6 months after more than 2 years to develop templates and approaches to every situation that comes up. Their decisions all look about the same. There is no reason to draw this out, and I oppose these constant efforts to confound and delay Measure 37.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. And our next speaker is Rand Dawson.
Thank you. My name is Rand Dawson. With my wife, we live in western rural Lane County on the coast in Silcoos Lake. I'll let my written remarks stand for themselves, and I'll summarize based on the co-chairman's remarks. My first example in terms of opposition for the bill is deals with the $250 million claims of stumps and timber. I think even Everett Dirksen would say if those aren't overreaching, at least they're real money. 21 of those stumps and claims are set for consideration in Yamhill County before April's end. 3546 simply won't be any remedy for those particular claims, and it won't be a remedy for similar claims in similar situations. And speaking with a variety of people in the rural areas of Lane County, what impresses me is the extent to which they thought the original measure was a bait-and-switch situation in terms of where we are. So what they're seeking at this point, I think, and what they're interested in at this point, is not an extension of the process, but is your leadership in terms of implementing full, fair, and comprehensive reform. If I may share the remarks of a farmer up the Siuslaw River, he farms 120 acres upriver from Mapleton, Fred Menser. His remarks are at the bottom of my prepared remarks. He sent these to me yesterday for reading here. I'm a long-time rural resident and farmer and timberland owner. I have a Measure 37 claim to allow some legal family residences on our 120-acre family farm. I'm opposed to any large-scale development brought about by Measure 37 and feel it needs reform, not merely an extension of processing time. So if I may, I'd like to add my voice to Fred's voice, which is please give us the leadership for comprehensive reform at this time, and not a head fake basic extension of the measure. Thank you.
All right, thank you. One thing I forgot to ask that we've had members ask before, when you come up to speak, if you could tell us at the very beginning if you're supporting or opposing the bill as it's would it be contemplated to be amended, and that would be nice to help us with our tally sheets.
Would you repeat that? I have some deafness, and I couldn't quite hear what
okay.
you said.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and give us your testimony, Mary Lou, and what we'd like for you to do is the very first thing is tell us, yes, you support the bill, and for why, or if you don't, why you don't.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I'm Mary Lou Gertson. I live in Deadwood, Oregon. I've been there 30 years. Wonderful place to live. I do not support this because I feel that the whole thing needs to be fixed, not added more time to work on it. I'm excited to be here because I've only been here one other time with Senator Hatfield. And we had a forest issues at that time, so this is sort of an interesting time for me to be back here since that was the last time I was here. I have lived in Deadwood in my neighborhood, and I have neighbors who have made some claims, but they are very, very upset about what's the Pandora's box that's been opened at this point, and I have this unbelievable printout of all the claims and all the money that's supposed to be paid to people for the claims and all that, and it just seems mind-boggling to me. It does not seem to me like this is the legacy that we want to leave for future generations. We do need to have some decent laws so that people can fix, you know, build little extra buildings on their places, but not what's happening with this whole situation.
All right. Thank you very much for each of your testimony. Our next panel will include, appears, Laurel Wood. And where are you from? Please come up. And then Peter Bray and Ron Hutchinson. We'll let you start off.
Yes, and it's Laurel Hood, like the mountain.
Oh, okay,
thank you.
Excuse me.
I'd just like to say I am opposed to this bill as well. Let me find my notes here. After all that, I just gave away all my notes.
Okay. 100%.
I'm opposed to House Bill 3546 because it merely postpones the inevitable necessary changes to ballot measure 37. At the same time, it removes any incentive for solid legislative action. As a citizen of Cannon Beach, this bill may not have as much impact as it might in other parts of the state. But from the perspective of a citizen of Oregon, it impacts me greatly. As a native Oregonian, I grew up cherishing the resources of this state. Many of those resources will disappear if ballot measure 37 is not fixed. I have a great appreciation for the amount of work that this committee has accomplished so far. You have done a lot of work and listened to many. You now have an opportunity to step up to the plate and implement the changes that reflect the desires of an electorate that in the majority believe that ballot measure 37 would never have passed if its outcome had been clear. And I'd like to say that if nothing else, the Senate Bill 1019 is better than this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Peter Bray, and I do not support this bill. Last week, 179 people signed up to testify. 18% of those indicated that they lived greater than 100 miles from Salem. 82% were within 100 miles. You allowed 100% or 33 citizens of the 100 milers to speak. You allowed only 16% or 29 citizens of those within 100 miles to speak. The ratio of those who showed up to testify was 1-4. This means that for every 100 miler who showed up, 4 citizens from within 100 miles showed up. Yet the ratio allowed to testify was only 1-1. This is really unfair.
Mr. Bray, did you want to give us your comments regarding the bill
this
itself?
This is a little bit of meta-analysis of this. If you don't mind, I'll just do this, and then you can put it on the record and leave that as you like.
Well,
If you're screening testimony, that's...
Well, it's not screening it, except we are focusing on the bill that's before us.
Yes,
and if you want to do that, we'll let you do that, but realize that it's not beneficial for this committee as to what you want to do. And if you have an issue specifically regarding giving people drove over 100 miles, in some cases 200 to 300 miles, then you need to take it up with the leadership. We're just following the rules that we have.
Okay, well, do you mind if I just go ahead and continue? Continue this?
Turn it on.
Okay. Whether this 100-mile rule is a vestige of the horse and buggy era or it's some parliamentary leftover, you must really consider revising the citizen input. The testimony you hear day after day is not representative of those who show up, and it is not representative of where the majority of Oregon voters live. What you hear is a bias towards rural conservative voices at the expense of the areas most impacted by Measure 37, such as the Willamette Valley. What led me to do this analysis was testimony by a GOP senator last week. He had nothing to say about Measure 37, but chastised you to make sure that you let 100-milers speak first. Why did he do this? Because if you look at the positions, 54% of those within 100 miles supported the framework, while only 40% of the 100-milers supported this framework. I really ask you to let the public testimony adequately and proportionately represent those who show up.
All right, and let's see, our next speaker is Ron Hutchinson.
I'm opposed. Co-chairs and committee members, thank you for this opportunity to address 3546.
There is no doubt that Measure 37 is ill-crafted and has consumed countless hours of our county and state workers who already had a full plate of job duties. I hope one of these days, very soon, we will be referring to this mark in time as before 37 and after 37. But what I really wish is that you could stop this speeding train that we call M37. Stop all engines. Put a moratorium on M37 claims, past and present, and fix Measure 37 or send it back to the voters. Let our county and state workers get back to business as usual and work on their backlog of neglected job duties before M37 came down the tracks. This House bill does not solve the damage M37 has caused throughout the state, nor does it speak to protecting the neighbors, communities, farms, timberland, and open spaces from subdivisions, industrial, and commercial development. There will be water wars, not to mention the countless lawsuits that will tie up our already stressed court systems. M37 needlessly allows valuable farm and timberland to be gobbled up by developers and others wanting to get rich quick. I refer you to the April 21st issue of the News Register. Stimson and Delphine have big claims up. 21 Measure 37 claims filed by the Stimson Lumber Company will come before the Yamhill County Commissioners Wednesday. That's tomorrow. Together, they sprawl across almost 8,000 acres of forest land. That's almost 12.5 square miles, or enough to encompass the entire city of McMinnville, plus all the acreage reserved for future growth inside its UGB. This train has got to be stopped.
Mr. Hutchinson, unfortunately, timing-wise, you've just run out of time.
I've got just my recommendations on
very quickly.
In fixing M37, I urge you to allow the landowners to build the one house they could have built when they bought their land, but no more than the one house without proving actual loss. Also prohibit M37 claimants from building subdivisions, industrial, and commercial developments. Do not extend the timeline for county and state governments as 3546 recommends.
All right, Mr. It's time. Thank
Let's
you very much.
Let's don't drag this thing out any longer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next set of speakers is William Donaldson, and going back here, Marilyn Walster. Lolita Carl, please. And this, for those who are keeping count, we are now into those who are under 100 miles. In fact, the last three speakers, we only had five today. So we might want to put that into the analysis for the next time.
Put in fairness.
All right.
Back in the fairness.
Good evening. Thank you for having me here. My name is Bill Donaldson. I'm from Clackamas County. I am pro 37. However, I'll keep my own opinion about Measure 37 to myself at this point. I will agree with our last two fellas who are opposed to 3546. I basically just want to iterate. I want to say everything that Mr. Schrader or that Mr. McDonald said at the beginning. That's all I want to say.
All right. Thank you very much for your comments. Let's see, Marilyn.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Walster. I'm from here in Salem and a little weary. I think we're all a little weary at this point. I'm opposed to House Bill 3546 in that it doesn't do anything to fix Measure 37. Counties have proven themselves pretty adept at the passage, at the rubber stamping of Measure 37 demands. I think in Linn County it took approximately 90 seconds per claim to approve and consider them last week. So, in terms of fixing things, I really hope and trust that this committee can send something of substance out to the larger legislative body. I think it's really critical. We have folks on this committee whose decision-making is clouded by self-interest and conflict of interest, and I sincerely hope that the rest of you will do what you know is right for this state. all polls indicate that Measure 37, as it stands now, would be soundly defeated if put before the voters. We now know the true intent of the financial backers of Measure 37. Plum Creek Timber has demands on 30,000 acres. As somebody earlier said, Stimson has 8,000 acres that'll go before Yamhill tomorrow night. And that's not even considering their massive demands on Lincoln, Tillamook, Washington, Clatsop, 50,000 acres in total. The public did not pass Measure 37 to have this happen. They passed it for that poor widow in Portland, as we know. This extension does not help fix Measure 37. So if you can't put anything substantive out, please do a moratorium and give it back to the voters now that we really know what this is all about. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lolita? Lolita Carl, full-time farmer in Marion County on land that's been in our family since 1915. A quote from, I'm opposed to 3546. A quote from Tom McCall. Oregon is demure and lovely and an ought to play a little hard to get. And I think you'll be as sick as I am if you find it is nothing but a hungry hussy throwing herself at every stinking smokestack that's offered. You are the protectors of Oregon's land, its most basic natural resource, its beauty and its productivity, and our future and our great-grandchildren's future lies in keeping it as a renewable resource, not a one-time windfall producer for a few greedy owners turned developers. The reason that there has been so many angry people testifying is that Measure 37 is fundamentally unfair. Please reform 37 to one house or repeal it now. Now that your angry constituents can see it for what it really is. Please, no transferability. Do not extend it. It's like extending a horrible attack on our homeland. I just copied this quote off the front of our Capitol. This is on the right side, the left side, entering the building. A free state is formed and is maintained by the voluntary union of the whole people joined together under the same body of laws for the common welfare and the sharing of benefits justly apportioned. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Our next group of speakers will be Kathleen Carl, Roger Kay, and Corey Tews, I believe. We'll start with Kathleen, please.
My name is Kathleen Carl. I'm opposed to 3546 because it is only an extension. Last week, my father turned 90. I have a birthday card here for him from Hector and Kitty McPherson, who Hector worked with my dad 34 years ago because they knew that development could overrun Oregon's beauty and its ag and forest productivity. And green could claim all the water resources and all the forest for asphalt. My father wanted to leave a legacy of green that future generations could enjoy, and I hope that you will all do the same. Please reform this measure, not just extend the time. Those of us who followed the rules for 34 years are threatened by poorly planned development. Young farmers will not be able to afford farmland and continue. I do believe that, as in the law, if someone dies, that their heir should be able to continue the claim. But I do believe that transferability should have strong limits. And when I look at these claims and the amount for the claims of some of these groups for millions and millions and millions, in some cases hundreds of millions of dollars, I don't think that that is the legacy that any of you want to leave for your great-great-grandchildren. Thank you.
Thank you. Roger?
Good evening, Chair Prozanski, McPherson, and members of the committee. My name is Roger Kay. I'm current president, Friends of Marion County. And I did present some written testimony. Friends of Marion County supports HB 3546 with the dash four amendments. We, however, believe that HB 3546 should be included within the framework described in Senate Bill 1019-5 and not separate from it. So I just want to make that clear that we are not looking for just an extension to the claim process, but an integration of the claim process with the other bill. I also serve on the Marion County Planning Commission. I've gone to many of the hearings before the Marion County Commissioners, and they've resorted to putting these claims on a consent calendar. I'm not sure if most of you are familiar with local government, but consent calendar means if there's no objection, they pass these through. Staff does review these claims, but they're not set for a hearing unless there's someone that comes from the community to request one. So the pressure in Marion County has been, when they started, to provide hearings for each of these claims, and now they've had to resort to putting these claims on consent calendar because they just don't have the time at the staff level or the commissioners to provide a full hearing for each of these claimants. And that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And let's see.
Corey Coos.
Yeah, Corey, thank you.
Hi. I wish I am in support to extend HB 3546, but what were you thinking? This has nothing to do with Measure 37. It's divisive. It's exactly the same as Measure 37. It does. It puts a Band-Aid on something that needs real fixing. We need to take some time and think about where our future needs are, analyze our building and housing needs, analyze the true cost of Measure 37 in a state and local on state and local governments, protect the farm and forest lands from the continuous onslaught from self-interest individuals and groups, cities, counties, and even road systems, setting up a system that is based on needs and fairness, and setting up a system that allows our state and counties to recapture the tax deferments that have been abused. I live in a county where every 90 seconds, Measure 37 claims are being approved. Tomorrow, 326 houses will be approved. I believe in the process. I serve on a planning commission. We don't get any of these. They go straight to the commission. And besides that, our county commissioners are now participating in what I call the 2007 land grab cash out. They are turning a park that isn't even in the UGB, or they're taking high value farmland and turning it into a park on high value farmland. Okay, what is going on is ludicrous and short sighted. Please address the issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next set of speakers is Gloria Olson, Sharon Canopa, and Lloyd, starts with an H, but I can't tell.
Kenyon.
Lloyd Kenyon, maybe?
I just happen to know her.
All right, we're going to start with Gloria when she's set.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I am going to say some things that are not going to be real popular. I'm Gloria Olson of Albany. I'm a taxpayer. I've spent my entire 70-plus years steeped in agriculture. I value agriculture. I treasure it. And I'm really bothered by what I consider to be your hard work and what you're putting into this and pouring your time and energy while we are asking for impossibles. And so I think all of us will need to come together and find the solution. And for me, I'm saying, I don't know what to say about this bill because I really want the train to stop. I want the wreck to stop because all of these claims are being processed by people who are working on our tax dollars, while at the same time we have special interests and what I would call unique personal interests making decisions about how fast we move this forward. And if I say yes, we're going to take this for that many more days, that means that we're having our public taxpayer citizens processing claims that I think really, really need to be stopped. Now, I think this needs some deep fixes, And I'm going to suggest that we need to come up with what I call the cost of developing in the rural community. That means systems development charges need to be applied to these properties. We need to recognize that this development does not pay for itself. All of us pay for it. When we see that we have to have additional schools and fire service systems and public safety systems because of increasing building in this rural landscape, we will all pay. And that's something which doesn't get talked about very much. We also don't talk about the need to protect the watershed, the need to protect the historic sites, the need to protect the endangered species, the wildlife. We really need to pull all of that information together and say, yes, this is what happens when there's development in the rural community. Do you still want Measure 37? And put it back to the voters. But before we do take it back to the voters, I think we need to do some real deep digging and pull out these facts that will tell us what will happen as a consequence for the those of us who are paying the taxes on that additional development and for those of us who are going to live with the consequences of paving over our landscape. And I just wanted to say one more thing, that I think that we're trying to rush to a solution that needs a deep fix, and that I'm afraid that we're going to rush into something that maybe we will not all agree with, and at the end, we all want to be talking with our neighbors and working together because it is our community. And that's what I'm asking all of us to really think about.
Okay.
And that this is our special interest. It's our state of Oregon.
Thank you. Sharon?
Chair Przanski and Chair McPherson and members of the committee, my name is Sharon Canopa, Albany City Councilor, and I support House Bill 3546 and allowing a public entity more time to review and act on Measure 37 claims. Plus, I also am supportive of transferring the funds to DLCD. I really do feel that they should be the ones that are processing these claims so we can get some more consistency throughout the state on these claims. Actually, I would prefer a moratorium on processing all the claims until the legislature can agree upon some solid amendments to Measure 37. But this bill that is before us is better than what we have in the current process. I have submitted you, and it is the article you've heard about, the 90 seconds for processing Measure 37 claims in Linn County. Is this responsible land use planning for future generations? As you see on there, I've highlighted Timber Services Company, a timber company, mind you, had 1,356 acres approved at this meeting, a subdivision next to Foster Reservoir, a subdivision next to Green Peter Reservoir. I don't know if any of you have ever been to this area, but it is a beautiful area. I used to camp there as a child, and I would love to have my future grandkids be able to go to this area. But it's being urbanized by putting in subdivisions in this area. But this isn't the only claims for timber services. This week on the agenda is another 1,200 acres for timber services. So you are to set government regulations, and they're to protect the rights of all Oregonians, not for individual personal properties. So I urge you to move forward with 3546, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Senator Przanski, Representative McPherson, and I have to say Senator Johnson. I'm Lloyd Henyon, retired economist from the Oregon State Department of Transportation. In 1916, there was a great idea. Oregon had the nation's first gasoline tax to fund highways. In 1935, we had the first tax to charge heavy vehicles fairly. Oregonians have had some great ideas. And then, tell me, was it 1973 when the land use bill was passed? I believe so. That was another great idea, and we had some great sponsors of that idea. Governor Hatfield, who was a friend of mine, and Senator L.B. Day. These folks worked hard on the concept that Oregon needs to have a look in the future that isn't the same as Southern California. That's the essential ingredient. This bill, I'm going to favor it, But it's a close call because it what really is needed is a moratorium to rethink the really specifics, and the devil's in the details of this of Measure 37. I also am a property manager of a farm, and I could claim Measure 37 claims. I have do it, but I don't want to. It's in the Jefferson area, in the Jefferson Silo Drive. My father put together four parcels actually. They could have four homes on that. But the bigger idea here is what we need to keep in mind, and let's not rush to a hasty decision. You folks have a difficult job to do, and there's a lot of intelligence up there, and I think you can figure out a better solution. And thank you.
All right, thank you. So thank you, all three. Our next group is going to include, let me see if I got number 12, Marilyn Reeves, Rocky G-U-A, I think is Rocky, I'm not sure. I don't want to butcher your last name. And Penny Kimball. Is Rocky here? All right, let's go ahead and go with also John Engelbright. Breck, excuse me.
This might be Rocky right
here. Is Rocky?
I represent Rocky.
Okay.
Zachary Brian.
Okay.
Gretzian.
All right. Same last name, I can go with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I represent Friends of Yamhill County.
Can you tell us your name for the record?
My name is Marilyn Reeves.
Okay.
Our members would be deeply disappointed if, after all the work that has gone in to reviewing and listening to testimony, the only thing that you could come up with is some kind of a postponement to allow the state to then have time to review the claims. The only reason this bill is before you is just to prevent local and state taxpayers from paying compensation. If this bill would include an amendment which would then determine and list a fair and legitimate means of determining what compensation might be due for lost value, then our organization might be able to support it. But as it stands alone today, it does not help us in this debate. It's very disappointing that after all of this work, a few members of this committee really want to stall. And that's the way our members see it, that this is a stalling tactic. Wait until they get right up against the deadline, and then there will be the lawsuits that you have to pay me. The issue is compensation. That's what was Measure 37 was based on, to pay. Those were the first words. And until this legislature can determine by legitimate means, such as was outlined in House Bill 1018, or a similar legitimate process, there is no reason why you should just then waive the date. Thank you.
Thank you. Brian?
Sure. Hello, my name is Brian Graziano, and I am in opposition of HB 3546 because it doesn't fix the flaws of Measure 37. I'd also like to acknowledge the committee for giving me the opportunity to express my opinions today. A voter survey was released last week by Governor Kulongoski that stated that over two-thirds of Oregon voters either want to fix the significant flaws in Measure 37 or have it repealed entirely. Once again, it's over two-thirds of Oregon voters. In that same survey, only 19% of voters are in favor of Measure 37. And that's over half the money that funded Measure 37 came from only 4% of the donors of Measure 37. And that 4% has filed over $600 million in claims. Here's an example of that imbalance. Stinson Lumber gave $30,000 to the Measure 37 campaign, and as of today, has filed $270 million in claims. This exemplifies who will gain the most from Measure 37. When I was in high school and in college, I was an elected student body representative later on in life in the city of Newport Beach, California. I was on the board of the City Planning Committee. Whenever we faced an issue that dealt with the common good of the community, as elected officials, our guiding principle was to make the decision to do the greatest good for the largest percent of the community. As our elected officials, that should be your guiding principle. Your final decision should be how we do the greatest good for the overwhelming percentage of Oregonians. Thank you.
Thank you. Penny?
My name is Penny Kimball. I am here to speak in opposition to House Bill 3546. I've resided on the same rural Lane County property for over 30 years. And many years ago, in addition to our day jobs, my husband and I raised livestock. And today, the property currently provides grass hay. A proposed development of a nearby property as a result of ballot measure 37 zoning waiver request will have a negative impact on me. I respectfully request the Oregon Legislature make substantial changes to ballot measure 37 or suspend any further action on zoning waivers until the measure can be referred back to the voters. I really feel that extending the timeline is not acceptable. I have no objection to two or three additional houses being placed on the nearby property. However, more dense development is not okay. And I thank you for the opportunity to share my concern.
Well, thank you. All right, our next panel is going to include John Engelbrecht, Rand Schenck, and Linnell Vandermolen. And why don't we go ahead and start with John.
Let's wait till she sits down.
Okay.
Okay. I'm for and against this Bill 3546, but I can't see the future, and I don't know the workings of the state, so I don't know really how much time all government entities will take to process these claims. However, there is one weakness in all of these bills on 37 that just fries me royally. And that's where if you have a measure 37 claim in an exclusive farm use zone, you do owe the back taxes. I believe it's 10 years farm deferral back taxes. Only the county tells me that there's no mechanism for the counties to collect it. That's welching on the taxes. That needs to be fixed. That just cannot be allowed to go on. If you do allow that to go on, all that's going to happen is those that are in other farm zones are going to be right in court yelling fairness, and we're going to be facing a lawsuit and tying that up. That's item one. Item two, I think that measure 37 is what I think mentally is almost the Benedict Arnold to the future of any common sense for Oregon. It needs to be fixed. And if you can't give a moratorium on these, fix the thing. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. And let's see, Rand.
My name is Rand Schenck. I want to thank you for the opportunity for all of us to express our opinions on this. I called most of your offices yesterday and didn't think I'd be able to make the hearing, but I made an effort so I could get here personally. I oppose House Bill 3546. Certainly more time is needed to respond effectively to Measure 37 claims, but this measure does not address the fundamental problems with Measure 37. 12 years ago, I lived in North Carolina and began to do research on other states that were doing a good job with statewide land use planning, and I saw the two states really stood up head and shoulders above the others, and that was Oregon and Vermont. In my own state, I was increasingly saddened to see farmland and timberland converted into sprawling residential developments and commercial strip malls. I moved to Oregon about 11 years ago because the state had become a national leader in preserving farm and timberlands and containing sprawl. If allowed to go forward, Metro 37 will transform this state. We will lose so much of what makes this state special and really a great place to live, work, and raise a family. Yes, Measure 37 passed, but people did not vote for the conversion of orchards and Hood River Valley into dispersed residential developments. People did not vote for leapfrogging subdivisions and strip malls popping up in the midst of the rich soils of the Willamette Valley. They did not vote for a multitude of destination resorts gobbling up land. They did not vote to have timber companies, the primary backers of Measure 37, convert their timberlands into thousands of ranchettes. Recent polls now show that a large majority are upset by the potential damage this state could suffer if Measure 37 goes forward. I urge you to fix Measure 37. What people voted for was to allow those landowners who want to build a home on their land to do so. That's fine. Let's make that doable. But we don't need sprawling subdivisions, commercial developments popping up like mushrooms, helter-skelter. I live in a dense neighborhood in northeast Portland, and just as I would not want my neighbor to convert their own home to a strip into a striptease joint, it is not fair, and that's a critical issue here, is fairness to those living across the state to suddenly wake up to the many kinds of unexpected developments that may be built next to them. That is simply not fair. Please fix Measure 37 now before irreparable harm is done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Linnell? Or maybe Linnell.
Thanks. I'm Linnell Vandermolen, and I'm opposed to HB 3546 if it's only a means to allow more claims to become irrevocably vested while delaying necessary alterations that would help adjacent property owners to protect our investments. Some of the issues I'd like to see clarified are in the letter that I've given you. There are about five different questions, but what I'd like to stress here is that any time granted by any extension needs to be devoted to clarifying the language of the new proposal. And what I'd like to know, in short, is would this extension serve or harm those of us who stand to be hurt by Measure 37, or will this just be a way to allow subdivisions by stealth?
Could you move just a little bit further from the mic? It's very sensitive.
Use both of them.
No, just one. Just one.
I suspect that any extension will only serve pro-development forces and give them even more advantages than they already have. In my fantasy scenario, you would stop the damage promoted by Measure 37 without any extension. And please don't allow the transferability of the waiver. It's like throwing gas on a fire.
Thank you. All right. And our next group of speakers will be Tom Gilbert, Jim Stitzman, and Kay Schwab. All right, Tom, why don't you go ahead and get started? And right before you get started, Kay Schwab, Kay's here.
My name's Tom Gilbert. I was going to say a whole lot. We got to stick to 3546. I believe 3546 is acceptable. I do have a claim filed, and I do believe this is acceptable if there are no last-minute amendments put to it. There was today, but I believe that's still acceptable. There's nothing that I can say that will change the minds of those people that oppose 37. There has never been an issue that anyone has agreed on. That is why a majority of voters make decisions for all. There's no way everyone will be content with any solution that this committee comes up with. That is why we need a fair solution, one that meets the wants and needs of the majority of the people, even if it means not meeting their wishes. Make the process simple for those who have already completed their process. Let them go forward. Limit the large claims. Leave the small developments alone. Extend the process time if these claims are filed in the last few months of 06. Most of all, do not eliminate the land you deem to be high-value farmland when it's not. Many pieces of land are unusable for farming, already surrounded by residential areas. The counties have the ability to know which land meets the development requirement. Leave it to the counties. Do not make the process any more difficult than it already is. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, one more thing. Just a question. It's a hypothetical thing. I know you can't answer it. If they're asking for an additional year for 3,500 claims approximately, how long would it take for the state to do the full 7,000? Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Jim?
My name is Jim Sitzman, Honorable Chair Prusansky and members of the committee. When I spoke to you at one of your earlier hearings, I noted the fact that I thought that your oversight function gave you the opportunity to deal with Measure 37 in the way of a major reform. I still think that is in the legislature's prerogative and would encourage you to do that. I support House Bill 3546, however, because of the pragmatism in me. I assume that there's perhaps more in the works in the legislature than what's represented in this bill, and in the hopes that a major reform of some kind can still be issued forth, it seems to me that it's prudent at this point to give this kind of extension of time so as to not have claims ratified because of a lack of time to decide them. But it does seem to me that given the nature of the potential damage to this state, that we need to have something come out of this legislature that effectively deals with the problem that's at hand. And I would only add a final comment with regard to this bill. I've been impressed with some of the things I've read about your earlier deliberations in the bipartisan committee with the idea of including in the process an ombudsman function. I think there is some validity to that, and that it might well be embedded in this as a way to deal with some of the issues that arise in the course of this year extension. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next set of speakers is George Milliken, Gloria Center, and Jim Zerpanzik.
I think we heard that name.
So, George? George? All right. Gloria, why don't you go ahead and get started? It looks like George may have stepped out.
Okay. My name is Gloria Sennett, and I'm from Clackamas County. I am not opposed to the Senate Bill 3546, simply because my written testimony really has nothing to do with what I'm saying right now, because it has to do with all the amendments and everything else. What I will say to you is I am amazed by the testimonies I hear here. Continually, everything you put in front of people, they come up and they object to it simply because it's not all their way. The word compromise is being missed by all of these people. If you're against Measure 37, you're against this because it doesn't kill the bill. If you're for Measure 37, it extends it, and we don't want to hurt the bill. There has to be compromise.
This is right.
And the people are scared to death by these big claims. If that's the case, fix those. Quit. Everybody here has got to find a way to compromise, or you will never find something that meets everybody's wants and needs. So I hope you can find a compromise and put it through and quit listening to people who come up and say no just because you're not doing it my way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we clap and cheer? Is that
okay? No, sorry, you'd be out of order. But thank you anyway. Jim?
Preparatory to my comments, you may clap and cheer, I hope. Co-Chair Brzezinski and Co-Chair McPherson and members of the committee, Jim Zupancic, on behalf of Measure 37 Claimants for Fairness, I promised at the outset of this process that I would not be an ideologue, and I will stay true to that this evening, for sure. I will say, first of all, that I came prepared to discuss the Dash 5 amendments on 1019, which I will defer, which I hope that we have an opportunity to comment on at some future date. I would like to turn, though, specifically to 3546 into the Dash 4 amendments, because that's what the chair is requesting, and issue and offer some specific comments on this particular bill. As I understand it, what we're looking at now is lines 14 through 21 is basically all that survived substantively in the Dash 4 amendments. I will not debate or argue with my friend from DLCD on how long they need to be able to process his claims, but I will tell you, as a practitioner who's filed dozens of these claims throughout the state, that I'm finding that the counties are issuing their decisions with remarkable dispatch. They're getting them out, and I question whether or not the counties need in another year to be able to finish their claims. I said that we would always support a reasonable extension. I think a reasonable extension means reasonable. I think a year is excessive. What is reasonable? People can differ. But I think that 540 days is clearly excessive. There should be some distinguishing factor between the counties and the state. Clackamas County, who had over 1,000 claims, I believe, got them out and got them out quickly, and it continues to do so. I draw your attention to subsection A of paragraph 2. And only as a land use attorney of about 30 years, I will tell you that either we are creating inadvertently or by design two tests whether or not just compensation will be paid. The first one under subsection A is whether or not the land use regulation will be enforced, and the second one under B is whether or not it applies to the subject property. If that's what you intend, so be it, but I think those are two separate tests. The next item I draw your attention to is on the Dash 4 amendments, and that's the new subsection 3. If your intent is to only cover individual claimants on this extension so that their death will not create a premature expiration of the claim, think about whether or not it should include the holder of an interest in the claimant. We have a lot of claimants out there that are LLCs, partnerships, corporations, and it's uncertain right now as to whether or not their death of a member or a shareholder or partner terminates that claim. If that's the case, perhaps, or a holder of an interest in that claim should be included. And lastly, this. The question becomes whether or not a claimant who has a waiver from a local government should be able to proceed with a land use application. Right now, we have some of my clients who have waivers from local government but nothing yet from the state. What happens in that situation, especially in view of the Corey decision, which, as you all know, validates the fact that a person with a waiver has a due process right, procedural due process, because it's constitutionally protected property interest. What happens in that situation? Can they proceed with their land use application? I would propose that this bill should address that and say that they can, because if they can't, because the state land use goals are not waived because DLCD hasn't issued their waiver, then they have been deprived of due process rights. And I would expect that there would be a lawsuit filed, which would be a significant fiscal impact on the state, because the claimants who currently have a waiver, maybe from the local government, not the state, would claim that they would have a property interest and have not been afforded procedural due process. So on that basis alone, I think that even though this bill is clean and small, it has significant potential fiscal impact, because there are claimants with waivers who will not be able to move forward with their land use applications.
Thank you for your comments.
You bet.
All right. Our next group of speakers, Bruce Chaffin, Franklin Young, and Mona Lindstromberg. Bruce, you'll lead off.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Bruce Chapin, orchardist north of Salem. And I'm opposed to this bill as a standalone bill, but I support the concept if it's part of a comprehensive fix on Measure 37. But you need to make some actual changes. Don't just extend the deadline. Actually fix the bill. Don't stop here. When I say fix Measure 37, I think you need to go back and look at the basics of 37.
And the basics of 37, the foundation of 37, was compensation. We needed to define compensation. You need to define it in a fair, realistic way, come up with some good definitions, set up some good formulas. And if you can't fix Measure 37, then let's go and put in a moratorium and send it back to the voters. Thank you.
Thank you. Franklin?
Hi there. I'm Franklin Young from Canby, Oregon, and I'm going to address this a little bit to Kurt over there, my neighbor almost.
Yep.
And there's some things about zoning from 73, we'll say, that have been non-productive the way it's been, because what we've done is forced the city of Camden to expand right out on itself into the best of the farmland in the Willamette Valley, probably. Isn't that right, Kurt? And so that forced all that farmland, which is really, when you talk about prime farmland, that's some of it, a lot of it. And I'm for Measure 37, but when you see what's been going on in the past, it's caused that to expand on that wonderful farmland, and farther out where the farmland isn't good, it's prime farmland. You can't do anything with it. And I think this Measure 3546 is maybe some parts of it's all right, but it seems like you're wanting to go way too long for what the time they need to extend it. It's just, it appears to me it's just giving somebody time to throw more roadblocks into the measure. And I think I had something else to say, but I think my time is up. Oh, one thing. Now, this here committee is having a work session tonight on what we testified for the other night that I never got to testify.
We're not having a work session tonight. All we're having is a public hearing on the bill that's before us. So there's no work session tonight.
I was told there was. What are you having tonight? Is there something private on going on here tonight after we leave?
Not unless you're going to invite us to go out to dinner or something.
Well, I'll take you out.
Just
to dinner.
Yeah. Well, we're doing it in violation of the rules.
Yeah, some of us will be able to go. If it's under $10, all of us can go.
That's true.
Under $10, so that's probably the happy face meals over at McDonald's or someplace like that. But on a serious note, all we have before us tonight that we're hearing is the public hearing on the bill that's before us. Yes, there was a posting that there was a possibility of having other bills, but we're not doing that tonight.
Okay. Well, then my point is that there's, like the former person said, there's only about 20% of the people talked on this, and if you're having a work session on it before the rest of us talk, it don't seem like you're getting us people that are out here to put in our input. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Franklin. Mona?
My name is Mona Linstenberg. In reference to House Bill 3546, extending the process for Measure 37 certainly seems to have potential to be counterproductive. Measure 37 should be repealed, fixed, or referred back to the voters. A previous speaker mentioned integrating something similar to this into the recommendations by this body to the full legislature, and that is something I think I could back. I attended a rally on the Capitol steps recently, and I would direct this to Representative McPherson. I would like to say how sorry I am that he was shouted down. We all stood to learn something from him and were deprived of that opportunity. The hecklers need lessons in civics and also in civility. So I'm very sorry we didn't have an opportunity to hear you speak. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Our next set of speakers are, if I got this in order, is Lawrence Weber.
He won't be.
Will not? Okay.
I want to tell you, sir, I'm sorry about that. I was on Oregon sanction side, but I was not pleased with that.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Apology accepted.
All right. I'm going to need help on this last name. Bob
Cicerci?
Cicerci, maybe. Hopefully that's not too butchered. Barbara, looks like Walson. If it's a W or it's Halson. Can't tell if it's W or an H. And then Ruben... Robin Black.
If it's me, it's Barbara Wilson with a W.
Okay, that, yep, I can see that W now with the I next to it. All right, y'all want to take a kick again?
That one, okay. That's number 34.
Shall I start?
Yeah, Barbara, go right ahead.
I'm Barbara Wilson. I live in Beaverton. I'm chairperson of Friends of Mount Hood, which is a conservation group located in Parkdale, Mount Hood, Hood River, Gresham, Cortland, Tigard. Our focus for our conservation is basically Mount Hood, but we have become very involved with the viability of the Hood River agricultural community. I'm not exactly sure how to look at this bill 3546. It appears to me to be a prudent matter, and I assume that you have been motivated to put this bill forward because of input that you've had from the counties and from LCDC, and I need to depend on the advice of the people who work day-to-day with these claims to know how much time that they need to have. But what I don't want is bad decisions. I don't want rubber stamping. I want claims to be reviewed carefully, that if loss has occurred because of regulation, then the property owner apparently, according to Measure 37, is entitled to redress. But I want the law followed, and if we're rushing to a deadline and don't have sufficient time, then that won't occur. I really want Measure 37 fixed. I think it's a destructive, terrible bill, and I'm very disappointed that this committee has not been able to come forth with a fix. You've been working on this for a very long time. Someone mentioned earlier concern with self-interest and conflict of interest, some members who participate in this committee, and please let me reiterate that. We believe that people who have self-interest and conflict of interest should excuse themselves from this committee. How can they be objective?
Yeah. Ms. Wilson, let me please say something here.
Thank you.
The way that our process works, and this is for all of the legislature, we have a procedure that if someone has a perceived or actual conflict regarding a bill, they have to declare that on the record. The assignments that individuals received onto this committee, I believe, for the most part, those conflicts were pointed out prior to them getting assigned. But if and when we vote on any type of legislation in this committee or on the floors of the respective chambers, they will also have that obligation. And so even though you may personally disagree with that, that's how the system's set up. It's open disclosure, and then it is for what it is. And so I'm going to ask all those who are here that are still to speak, please don't refer to that. You may not agree with that. That's something to take up with the legislature as a whole through the rule process. But everyone here is that have those conflicts, I expect that they will, at the appropriate time, make the declaration, and at the same time realize that everyone is trying to do what they feel is best that they can, and everyone has to take that in consideration.
I understand the rule, Senator Prosansky. I understand the rule that, for example, a judge who sits in judgment between the plaintiff and the defendant, if he has a conflict of interest, he declares that, but then he excuses himself from the.
And you're just about out of time. Got another 20 seconds.
Okay, that's about all I had to say.
Okay.
I want Measure 37 fixed. Let me ask you this question. If this is extended, then what's the role of this committee? Do you continue on trying to fix Measure 37, or do you sort of back off and decide that the heat is off?
Thank you.
Well, that was the question.
I understand that. And I said thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, my name is Robin Locke, and I reside here in Santa Monica.
Okay, excuse us.
It's pronounced Locke.
Locke, okay.
Thank you, honored members, for allowing me just a few moments, 2 minutes. I had a little blurb kind of written out, but first of all, I got to say that I am against any delay. Any delay. And the reason that I'm against delay is because the people that qualify for Measure 37 and have claims in have been delayed to the dickens. There was only five people outside of 100 miles. I believe you said so yourself, Senator Pazansky. And the reason is they're tired of driving over here to hear nothing. No results, no finis. We voted. 61% of the people sent you a message. All but one district or county in the state passed this. And the message was loud and clear. Give us back our rights. You'll spend countless and countless and countless years trying to figure out the issues of transferability, of compensation, because if you take a property that 30 plus years ago was downzoned and the rights taken from it, and if the person that owned that property after, let's say, 10 years could have sold it with the rights it had, he could have taken that money and invested in an apartment complex, commercial property, huge farm, anything. What would that be worth today with inflation? How do you set compensation on something that you can't even put a value on that has had its rights lost for 30 years? Give the bottom line. Give the people what they voted for. 61% of the people in this state aren't stupid. We read what we voted on. We know what we voted on. And we sent you a message.
Right. And you're out of time. Thank you very much. And the bottom line is we're not going to be expressing ourselves. If we have outbursts like this, we'll have the room cleared. We'll take in one person at a time.
Did I outburst?
There's the people behind you. Thank okay. you, Robin.
Thank you for your time.
You bet. Delbert Hoekstra, looks like. And Lynn Schuff, maybe? Can't read everything. And then looks like Jesse Chef as well.
You're getting better at my name.
We're working on it.
Good for you.
Still have a ways to go, however.
We said
Chef,
I think. Chef? Looks like Jeff.
Lynn Chef.
Yeah, Lynn. Looks like Lynn. Maybe it's London.
Leiden.
Okay.
Bring your driver's license.
Yeah. Yeah, next time, if you print instead of writing it, I may be do a little bit better. But at least I'm working getting Delbert's right.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm again 3546, and the reason the people that put their claims forward did it in a timely manner and they got them done. With that being said, you know, we're all set timetables and so forth, and we were expected to or had a timeline to get our job done, and I think to management people and government should be able to get their job done too. With that being said, I hear Yamhill County's got a lot of doom and gloom up in that part of the country. It's a horrible situation they got up there, but I don't see it that way because all of these claims are never going to be all enacted on. It's the process that we've got to go through, and that's the bottom line. Between A and C, we have a lot of bureaucracy. And to jump through all the hoops is going to eliminate a lot of these claims. It's the bottom line. Whether it's water, whether it's a road that needs to be rebuilt, who knows. But what we have here is not all doom and gloom because it's not all going to be enacted on. It's not going to happen. This county commissioner of Polk County, when this thing went in, the whole room was livid. And all the services were going to happen. 2 years later, 3 years later, and how much has happened? The wheels of progressive government holds us back. It's as simple as that. So doom and gloom is not here, and the whole world isn't going to fall in because we have Measure 37. But what I would ask of you folks is to review how and what got us here, and why so many people voted for 37, because they're unhappy with what's happened over the years. And things haven't been fixed in our land use laws. They haven't been addressed. They've been put aside. And address those issues, what really got us here. 37 then goes away. It's as simple as that. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Lighting shift. I oppose the extension of 3546. Excuse me. On the fact that I have my neighbor, they've already approved 1 acre tracts. Mine is on farmland, and we have a farm that's been in the family for 100 years. And they've taken all of our rights. We have no zoning. We have 1 acre zoning, and now it's 20 acres to 40 acres to 80 acres. And I have to have anyone that buys it has to have $80,000 they can make off of it, which really restricts anything I can do with it. And half of my land is not even farmable because it's the hillsides and canyons. And yet I have all my rights to do anything with my land taken away. So when Measure 37 came, I made a claim. And well, Clackamas County, they approved. They recommend that my proposal be approved. But I have not heard anything more from it that has to do with the state. But I am opposed to this extension of 365 days. I think it's way too long. And I don't want the Measure 37 fixed, because it takes away my rights to do something with my farm. And I'm getting too old to farm. And besides that, a small farming operation, and the rest of my land is marginal farmland anyway. And what can I do with it? I can't even make a living. Grain prices and stuff, and the price of fuel and fertilizer, it's not even hard to make a living off that kind of little land property anymore. Everything is big operations. I used to raise potatoes. This is kind of a getting off the subject. But anyway, I raised potatoes, and I sold them local. They weigh, and said my role, bought rural grower. Now, the buyer for Safeway is in Phoenix, Arizona, and they won't even talk to us any small. So small operation is a thing of the past. It's all big growers. But I'm saying the idea that people went, oh, we got to fix Measure 37. I'm not really opposed to it's an extension, but I don't want built Measure 37 eliminated.
All right.
I just thank you for your
time. Thank you. And do you have someone else that came? It looks like we can't read the first name of his. Jerry, Jesse, Sean? You're not going to speak? Okay, thank you. Richard Joyce. Dwayne Weeks. And 41. That's gone. And Gordon Root. I must have. Why don't you go ahead and get started, and we'll call him one more time.
Thank you. Co-chairs and members of the committee, I'm Richard Joyce, live in Sherwood, or west of Sherwood. I am Measure 37. I have Measure 37 claims in. However, I am in favor of the extension, and perhaps for a different reason than most, but one of the reasons is I think it's largely the slowdown is largely because of the unnecessary redundancy of the system that's been designed by somebody to pass these things. Basically, they have to be passed in the county and looked at the same way by the state. The state goes to the county to ascertain if the person is eligible, and back and forth and back and forth. And it takes, no doubt, it takes a lot of time. I have a feeling, too, that they might be able to reach this in less than a year, perhaps another 180 days. I don't know. But I do believe in the extension. The reason that I do is because when Representative McPherson's father authorized Senate Bill 100, there was under a terrifically short timeline for the counties to design the system to meet the goals. And they really hurried that process up. But in that process, they made some major errors. In some cases, they overlaid a farm zone over areas that were already committed and developed. and it really made a mess out of it. We were promised that by the county that when the thing got passed, they would have time to solve those problems. They never did, because they didn't have the money to defend themselves in subsequent suits from LCDC and the Flowers and Friends. So there we've sat, and I've sat there for 37 years waiting for something to happen, largely as what I consider myself a sharecropper. I've been paying the man every year for the pleasure through taxes of farming this place, with no hope of building homes for my children or grandchildren. 100 acres sitting right in the middle of a housing development that's been there since the 60s, and with the only hope to look forward to of trying to pay the inheritance taxes, leave the money for the inheritance taxes for my kids when they can't do anything but the property. So I'm for the extension and the hope that people can look at this and deal with it properly. The only change that I would like to see is that you might consider transferability as one of the issues here, because that certainly was my right then. It was brought out with the previous speaker. There's a huge difference between those that oppose Measure 37 philosophically and those of us that are living it, that own the property, that have lost our rights. I have a philosophical disagreement with turning areas in southern Willamette Valley and the timber areas into homes, of course. But there's more than philosophy involved with when it affects you, and you have to deal with it, and you don't have the rights to use your land or the money you can get from it. I bought it from my parents so they can retire. Now I'm stuck with it.
Thank you.
Give us a hand. Thanks.
All right. We have, I'm going to call the two names that didn't respond, Dwayne Weeks and Gordon Root. All right, our next set of speakers will be Bob Horning, Craig Myers, Ivan Andreessen. Excuse me, I'm talking E on the end. Bob, when you're ready.
Yes, I'm Bob Horning. Thanks for listening to me. First off, I do live within 100 miles here, and I do support the measure on that we're reviewing here right now. I do support the extension. It's needed just for the counties to just deal with everything. I will say that a lot of people, the reason I said I do live within 100 miles and support it is that if you look at the ratio of people coming here and everything, yes, they are from mostly from probably cities and everything else, because that's the highest ratio of people that live around this area. You're not going to get a lot of people who have been affected by Measure 37 close in here. Also, I want to say that the people that are concerned about Stimson's Lumber and everything, that have been, you know, concerned about their Measure 37s, people who own timber such as myself, well, we're looking at more and more regulations that keep our, you know, us from harvesting timber. It's just been getting ridiculous. So as far as Stimson's and everything else, I don't see them really building a lot of houses other than protecting themselves and everything else. Another thing I want to say is, I want to point out the fact that has been overlooked, the people behind the reasons the numbers of Measure 37 claim. Everyone is touting how terrible these numbers are, but did anyone think these same people had the property rights and dreams crushed by bureaucrats and other people deciding what's best for land? These numbers tell a tale that there has been a lot of people who up until now have been very angry, very frustrated, but without any recourse. So before you decide to take any drastic measures, think of the people behind these claims, your constituents, both Republican and Democrat, and how they must have felt all these years. And people talk about the damage to them that Measure 37 causes them. What about, as far as looking at the property and everything else, what about the damage to the landowner that has occurred throughout this regulation for 30 years here that the legislators have failed to fix? And everything. You guys had 30 years to do something here. Measure 37 finally came along, and we finally vote on it. I would like to see some compromise on this. I have gave you guys various ideas several times here. A lot of compromises could be happened through Measure 37 itself, through health and safety regulations, through ORS 537 and everything else, the Groundwater Acts and everything. So,
all right, Bob, thank you.
Yes, sir. Co-chairs and members of the committee, my name is Craig Myers. I am opposed to this extension because it seems unreasonable. I've seen how little work is involved, really, in getting in processing these waivers, and it astounds me that this could take another year. I think something reasonable could be worked out. I'd like to speak to this question of the transferability and the status of claims which already have one or two waivers. There's nothing said or little said in Senate Bill 1019-5 pertaining to those. It only speaks to people who want to get on board with a program which is untested and actually creates a certain amount of suspicion in my mind by the means of its formulas. So I feel like that anybody who doesn't want to kind of jump on board with this new program is at risk for being surprised badly by the outcome. And one reason I say that is Section 7, sub 6, talks about fair market value and the definition of it and the adjustment formulas used to determine the number of home sites that would qualify for. And it is a radical departure from the spirit and the wording of Measure 37. And as someone who's appraised real estate for 28 years for both the county and the state, I believe that it's going to deprive most people of the home sites that they thought they were going to get, and so they're going to feel betrayed, especially those who go with the unconditional pathway. They're going to feel very betrayed because they'll have spent all this extra time waiting for extensions on a processing and working their way through the system, only to find out that, as from an appraisal standpoint, it's virtually impossible to say what something might have been worth 40 years ago because there's no comparables for it that you can even see today. Things don't remain unchanged. They change. And I've attempted to do this. I know personally how difficult that is. And if that's the foundation stone on which you're building this kind of artificial measurement device, it's not going to stand up. And I've tried to find appraisers to do work under Measure 37 using less exotic methods, and they refuse to do the work because it doesn't even conform to the standards that they're legally obliged to adhere to. So I think that this is a wrong direction to go. Either allow them what they were allowed with the zoning or the regulations that existed at the time that they purchased the property, or this will only create conflict and outrage. I don't think that it's going to succeed as a cure for the problems with Measure 37. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. All right, our next set of speakers, I'm going to call up the last thing we had was Ivan Andreessen, as well as Laurie Andreessen. Not seeing them, we'll go on to the next group. Diana Gardiner, Russell Minton, and Matt Greenhite.
Good evening, gentlemen and ladies. I'm Diana Gardner with my husband, owner and manager of Farm and Forest Land in Marion and Jackson Counties. We oppose HB 3546-4. We believe that the legislature needs to fix Measure 37 and can do so, and has made a very good start with Dash 5, which is a compromising beginning, and we need leadership to carry it forward. We believe that you're capable of it. 3546 will permit legislative inaction, is my fear, and we will be dragging out the trauma of Measure 37 endlessly. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
My name is Russell Minton, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk. I would like to, I've been listening, and I read in the paper that different counties can process in 90 seconds, some of them 3 minutes. Out of all the counties, 8 of them have not quite processed all of this. I don't see a reason I'm opposed to this bill. The land use bills have been voted on now 3 times by the people, and they've been passed. The people voted on Measure 37. It's been passed 3 times that we've done this. And then we have the farmers. Most of the land that's in these major 37s, you couldn't make a living on, a lot of them. And the thing is so they have this opportunity, but you're saying that they should keep this land, pay taxes on it, because they can't. I think that some of this is wrong. I have four kids. If you limit me to only dividing my property once, what do I tell the other three kids? I think some of your bills and some of your thinking is really totally wrong. The other thing is, you know, if the people are opposed to you and your neighbors, my land's for sale. Buy it as it is. Make it a park. Do whatever you want with it. I'm not trying to infringe on my neighbors or whatever. In fact, I told some of my neighbors, I said, get together and buy it. I sit with small parcels all around my 27 acres, and I've got four kids. My idea was to give each one of those kids a parcel and make enough so that I could build a home that I always dreamed about on the property and sell the one I'm in. But all these dreams go, and then I wonder what we vote on, what do we go to war for and fight for our rights and things, and then to see this sort of thing happening. That's all.
Thank you, Russell. Again, Matt Greenheight. And if not, then Janice Andre, Candy Tompkins, and Heidi Overholzer.
My name's Janice Andre, and I am a friend of Measure 37 claimants. I came here today to reluctantly say yes to this extension, and at that time I thought it would be 180 days, but since it's longer, I am against it. One reason I was reluctant, even 180 days, is because I think some of the counties have wasted their resources. Some of the counties have produced a map, a Measure 37 map. I don't know what the purpose of that was, but it wasted a lot of resources, and it is not accurate, so it gives a false impression to the voters. I think it really ironic that today I received in the mail a voter's pamphlet. I opened up the voter's pamphlet, and in that, there are measures to extend the city limits of West Lynn, Oregon City, Canby, and Estacada, all into farmland. And we're here saying that claimants can't use their land as they want, but cities can take in the good farmland. I think that's just ridiculous. And this is how Southern California became what it was. By the cities extending their urban growth boundaries, not by farmers cutting and running. The farmers were not greedy. The cities were greedy. And that's what's happening in Oregon. An earlier person quoted the quote that's on the outside of the building. When I was in fifth grade here in Oregon, we studied Oregon history, and our field trip was to come to the Capitol. We read that quote, we studied that quote, and at that time, that quote meant that people vote, and their vote counted, and we were ruled by the majority of the people. And it wasn't as a socialistic state, it was as a democracy. And I think that if we're going to look at quotes like that, if we're going to have them on our building, we should honor what they mean. I think there's a lot of things wrong with the proposed changes to Measure 37. One of the things that I thought was really funny in this bill is that we don't want to pit neighbor against the neighbor, but yet in Southern Oregon, on the coast, we're going to make Highway 101 the dividing line, that on the west, the people can't develop their property, but on the other side, they can.
Janice, you've passed your time, so if you want to summarize it.
She can have my 2 minutes. It's okay.
I think another thing that's wrong with the proposed changes is that you're going to allow three buildings clustered on a piece of property. Many farms have their farm house in the middle of the property, and in that middle of the property, they have their farm buildings, they have their equipment, their hay, they have their storage sheds, their employees park in that area. How are you going to cluster the other two by them? And who's going to decide where those clusters are going to be? Is it going to be the people who farm that know their land? Or is it going to be some individual from the county or state that doesn't know their land? On our piece of property, there are different areas that frost or don't frost. So the growing season is longer or shorter, but a county official or a state official won't know that. There's different areas. The drainage is different. I know that. Who else is going to know that? So your one size fits all does not fit all. We have people with small acreages that have building all around them that should be allowed to go ahead and develop, but yet they're going to fall under this same thing. I think this is more individual property by property issue, not a one size fits all issue. And I think that there is so much that hasn't been taken into consideration that to move forward with the proposal you have now is a disservice to everyone, not just Measure 37 claimants, but to everyone. So I would like to see you stop, let Measure 37 claimants go forward. We've worked on our claims for over 2 years. We put tens of thousands of dollars into those claims. I see nothing in this bill that's going to repay that money. People older than I will not have the years left to work to replace their retirement. I'm worried about those people.
Thank you very much. If you have more that you want to share with us, please put it in writing and you can submit it.
I do every week. I hope you read it.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing your time. And you are?
I'm Heidi.
Okay, Heidi. Now, need you just pull the microphone towards you so we can capture. And you say your name again, please.
Yep. Okay. My name is Heidi Oberholzer. I am the co-trustee for a family trust started by my grandmother in Polk County, just outside of Dallas, Oregon. My grandma wrote in the part of the instrument of her trust in the Second Amendment that she explicitly wanted her property to be used as a retreat and a refuge center. She wanted to put in cabins. She wanted to put in lodges. She wanted to put in outdoor pavilions so people could come out and enjoy the property. It's currently zoned farm forest. It's in the timber conservation zoning because it is predominantly forest. There are 56 acres. It is its own canyon. We have livestock. We have five or six horses, fenced in pasture land, mostly trees, and we also have a small fruit orchard. In her trust was transferred, her property was transferred into the trust in 1994, but she acquired the property from her mother-in-law in 1942. Unfortunately, after 2004, when Measure 37 was passed, my grandma passed away in 2005, which made her trust, which was a revocable living trust, into an irrevocable trust because she did pass away. We don't want to remove the orchard. We don't want to remove the farm. We don't want to remove the original buildings, and we don't want to eliminate the pasture land. We don't want to cut down any of the trees except to put in about 20 cabins that are actually plumbed and electrical hookups that are actually improved cabins. Whether or not those are considered dwellings would be under the interpretation of whoever's looking at the law. However, under the proposals that are put forward by this committee, they want to limit the number of dwellings, and almost every single one of them under 10 or under 20 dwellings. And so that would basically eliminate any campground possibilities with improved cabins. Also, especially in House Bill 3546, which only allows one additional dwelling, it makes it possible for more claimants to be dying off before their Measure 37 claims are processed, because it extends the time limit. And I know a lot of these people, in order to actually be appropriate for Measure 37 claims have to have bought the property before 74, which means by definition they are older people. And I know that there are other people that are concerned about actually passing away before their Measure 37 claims are processed. The approval or disapproval hearing is for mine is tomorrow at Polk County. And what I expect to hear is, you know, thank you for your application. You're approved for the compensation date of 1942, but since the trust became irrevocable, your waiver date is 1994, which does me no good since Farm Forest was passed in 93. So I think that there needs to be something about transferability to successor trustees who are in the same family. Just because the trustor who made the trust passed away doesn't mean the successor trustees in the same family shouldn't have the same rights to waiver or compensation, especially since she passed away after Measure 37 was passed. And I know in 1019, which was proposed last week, it did have a provision in there for successor trustees of revocable trusts, but it set a date for revocable trusts who are revocable trustors who are still alive and their trust was still in effect at the time of the passing of 2007, which doesn't do any good for people who had revocable trusts at the time Measure 37 was passed. So I would propose that if you do something that has a provision for successor trustees, it should be at the date Measure 37 was passed instead of picking some random date in 2007 when you decide to pass a new law, because those people who have died waiting for these processes to be finished and completed are going to lose all their rights and their families will have nothing to go by. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the number of people that have signed up to testify tonight. I want to thank everyone for being patient and willing to listen to each other. And with that, we're going to go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 3546, and the committee's adjourned. Thank you and have a good evening, and a safe return home.